Morning, everyone.
Good Sunday.
Yeah, good Sunday morning. Everyone have an easy fast today. We are in Chagiga. Today's daf is daf Chaf in Chagiga. We're on Yud Tesamid Beis. We're at the very top. Short daf today. Short daf yesterday. Short daf today. So Mirza Shem will be able to finish in a somewhat more abbreviated time. The goal today will be to finish the parak. We'll finish the second parak, and tomorrow we'll leave the third parak for tomorrow. Okay, thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Tafa B'Lan Lezecha Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Okay, our topic of today, and as it was the topic yesterday, and half the day before that, was Tumma Tahara. We are now entering into the second half of Masechta Chagiga. We entered into the second half of the Masechta, where the Gemara now is going to dedicate its time to discussing very basic issues regarding Tumma Tahara. The Mishnah tells us that when you tovel in the mikvah, so you have to have in mind a particular, you have to have a kavanah, you have to have an intent in mind in terms of what exactly you're going to eat. Why am I toveling in the mikvah? So if I'm going to eat chulin, so I have in mind that I'm going to eat chulin. Although, as we learned, as we concluded in the Gemara yesterday, you don't even have to have kavanah for chulin. If I tovel in the mikvah for the Mishnah gave us a whole bunch of levels, five in total, for Meister Sheni or for Truma, or for Kodesh, or for Chatas. Chatas in the Mishnahs were referenced to Mechatas, the Paraduma. So as long as I have one of those Kavanas in mind, so then my Tefillah will work for that particular Kavanah that I had in mind, and then the Mishnah also taught us, and anything below it. So if I go into the Mikvah and I say that I'm this Mikvah, this Tefillah in the Mikvah is going to be for Truma, obviously I have to be a Kohen, so then that Tefillah would work for Truma. And if I wanted to have a little Meister Sheni on the side, I could do that as well. If, let's say, I'm a Kohen, I'm going to eat Kodesh, and so I tovel in the mikvah for the purposes of eating Kodesh, so then I can eat Kodesh, and I can eat Truma, and I can eat Meister Sheni, and it goes without saying, of course, you can eat Chulin.
Mechatas is the highest.
Huh? Mechatas is the highest. And for the Paraduma, so that's the highest level of Kedusha, and that requires its own separate Kavanah. What did we discuss yesterday? So basically our discussion yesterday revolved around the fact that for chulin you don't need kavanah. From the Mishnah, it does sound like you need kavanah for chulin, but the Gemara concluded after going through a number of Mishnayos yesterday, Mishnayos in Mikvos, Mishnayos in Machshirin. We got a nice tour yesterday of some Mishnayos in Seder Taharos. But the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday is that for chulin you do not need a kavanah. So you go into the mikvah, and that's it. That's for chulin, that's enough. And the Mishnah in Machshirin was really the makeh bepatish. That was the final hammer blow. From that Mishnah in Machshirin, it was clear that you don't need kavanah for chulin. Okay. That was basically what we saw yesterday in a nutshell, in a very brief nutshell. And we go on. We're on Yud Tesamid Beis, where towards the top of the Amud, at the two dots, a tovel chulin, v'huksak lechulin. You tovel for chulin, and you had in mind chulin, mani masisim rabbanan hi. So the author of our Mishnah is the Chachamim, Deshani Lehu, Ben Chulin Maiser, where they make a distinction between Chulin and Maiser. Okay, in other words, in our Mishnah, what do we have? We have five categories. So category number one, I'm going from the lowest to the highest, category number one is Chulin. The one above that is Maiser Sheni. It's clear from the Mishnah that Maiser Sheni is its own category. And that means to say that if I only tovel in the mikvah for the purpose of Chulin, I can't eat Maiser Sheni. It's clear from the Mishnah. So that position is supported by the Chachamim. The Chachamim make a distinction between Chul and Maaser Sheni. But Eima Seifa, but the Gemara says, but then look on in the Mishnah. Meaning when the Mishnah gets on to the discussion of Medras, where I'm using somebody else's clothing. So, depends whose clothing I or use or even touch. It doesn't have to be used. But I touch somebody else's clothing. So what did the Mishnah say? That if I am somebody who's going to eat Truma, so somebody's clothing who was meant for Chulin, to me, that clothing is not Tahor. It's Tamei. In fact, the Mishnah uses such a strong language to describe that clothing. It's medras. Medras means it's an avatuma. I touch it, I become tamei. So the Gemara says, Ema Seifa. Well, let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. And the next part of the Mishnah, what do we find? Big day, Ama Aretz, medras leprushim. That the clothing worn by an Ama Aretz is a medras for prushim. Big day, prushim, medras leochle truma. Now, did you see what that Mishnah did? That Mishnah went from regular prushim, which means people who are observant, and it went straight from there to Ochle Truma. And what happened? The Mishnah skipped a step. What step did the Mishnah skip? Maaser Sheni. What happened to Maaser Sheni when it comes to the clothing? Asal Rav Meir, Damar Chulam Maaser Ka Dadinenu. So that takes us to the position of Rav Meir. Rav Meir is of the opinion that Maaser Sheni and Chulam are on the same level. They both represent the same degree of Kedusha, and Kavana for Chulin is the Kavana for Maaser Sheni. And Kavana for Maaser Sheni is the Kavana for Chulin. It's the same. So according to Rav Meir, there are four levels. So here's the problem. The problem is very straightforward. In the first half of the Mishnah gave us five levels. And the second half of the Mishnah gave us four levels. So who is the Mishnah following? So it's confusing. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanu v'Sefer HaMeir. So is that possible that the first half of the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim and the second half of the Mishnah is going like Rav Meir? And the Gemara's answer is very simple and it's possible. Okay, it's not something the Gemara enjoys. It's not something that we like to entertain, that in within one Mishnah we're really representing two different viewpoints. But the Gemara says, okay, Reisha Rabbanu v'Sefer HaMeir. That's how we're going to learn the Mishnah. Rav Acha bar Ada. So he had a different gears in his Mishnah. Masin la b'sefer chamish malos. So when he taught this Mishnah, so it must have been that he had this tradition that in the Mishnah it was five levels in the first half, five levels in the second half of the Mishnah. Umukila kula karabanan, and that way the whole Mishnah comes out entirely like the position of the chachamim. Period. Okay. Adkan. Good. So the question of whether or not there are five levels or four levels in the Mishnah, it's confusing. And the Gemara's basic response is, it is confusing, unless you have a different gears in the Mishnah, which one of the Amoraim did have. Good. Moving on. Before we start the next topic of the discussion, this is the topic that we've discussed a number of times throughout Shas, but let's introduce it again. The Mishnah gave us a category of Ochlei Kodesh. Ochlei Kodesh means someone who's going to eat a carbon. So you have a person going to eat carbon. Generally it's a Kohen, but you and I could also eat carbon if we'd like. Carbon Pesach, we're all going to be eating. Okay, so if we're going to eat carbon, so that's a high level of Kedusha. A high level of Kedusha that requires us to have, this, when we talk about the mikvah, to have in mind, I'm going to eat Kodesh. Good, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Now, that's if we're actually eating Kodesh. And then there's an entire discussion coming up in the Gemara about training. Meaning, right now we're not going to eat Kodesh. Right now we're home. We're living anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, maybe even outside of Eretz Yisrael. But we like to train ourselves. We like right now to be in the frame of mind that we're going in the future to eat Kodesh. So what is that called? That's called throughout Shas, Chulin Shenase Ataras HaKodesh. It's really Chulin, but the way we're going to treat it is we're going to treat it like Kodesh. So, and we say it. In other words, we verbalize it. We articulate it. And we all have the understanding that right now we're home and we're eating what's quote unquote regular food, but we're going to eat it with the standard of Kodesh. And what level does that have? Meaning, halachically speaking, when I told them the mikvah, and I know I'm not going to the Beit HaMikdash, I'm going to be going home. But we decided this week in our house, we're going to be eating Chulin Shenase Ataras HaKodesh. Right, many people have the minute during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva that they're not going to eat Pasakum. Okay, that's the brought down Shulchan Aruch. So not to eat Pasakum during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Okay, so generally year round we eat Pasakum, we eat Paspalter, but during Aseres Yemei Teshuva we don't. Okay, so we at least conceptually we kind of understand this idea that we're going to be on a higher level, we're going to be on a higher standard. So for here, the Gemara is going to be discussing now Chulin Shenase Ataras HaKodesh. There's also, by the way, the Gemara is not going to introduce this over here, but there's also Chulin Shenase Ataras Truma, meaning that the Kohanim want to get ready for eating Truma, so they're going to eat with the standard of eating Truma. So the question over here is a very simple question. In the world of Tumah Tahara, so what Kavana does that person, that family need to have when they're right now, for whatever time they decided, a week, let's just say, they decided that we're going to eat Chulin Ataras HaKodesh. So what standard, what degree of tevila in the mikvah do they need? So that's what the Gemara's discussion is. So Amar of Marish, Mamina, Chulin Shenase Ataras HaKodesh, Kekodesh Damei. What do you see from our Mishnah? You see from our Mishnah that if it's Chulin Shenase Ataras HaKodesh, it's the same status of Kodesh. How do you see that from the Mishnah? Well, where's the indicator in the Mishnah? So the Gemara attempts to give an argument. Mimai, midalo ketani, we're on the very top of Chaf Amud Aleph, midalo ketani behu mala, because it doesn't have its own category. So it doesn't have its own category. So you know what? The only five categories given in the Mishnah, so we have to file it under a category. It doesn't have its own category. So where are we filing it under? We're filing it under Kodesh. The Gemara says, that's not such a great argument. Vidilma, hai delo ketani behu mala, di dam l'truma. So the Gemara says, okay, it's very nice. You could file it under Kodesh, but you know what? There are many other categories in the Mishnah. Maybe it's filed under Truma. Maybe it's filed under Chulin. Okay, it's not a compelling argument. So the Gemara says, Hatini Truma, Vidam Lechulin, Hatini Chulin. Sorry, I read that already. So the Gemara says, Chulin Shanasa, Atar Zakarish, Harein Kechulin. I'm sorry, Ditanya. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa, that Chulin, which is treated like Kodesh, Sarein Kechulin. So we're going to treat it like Chulin. Rabbi Lazar Rav Tzedek Omer, Harein Kechulin. Rabbi Lazar Rav Tzedek says, no, we treat it like Truma. So if anything, I'm showing you a Braisa that says, either it has a status of Chulin, or maybe it has a status of Truma, but how can you turn to our Mishnah and look at our Mishnah and say, oh, our Mishnah says that Chulin Shanasa, Taras HaKodesh, has the same status as the Kodesh. There's no compelling argument to make from our Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, no, there is a compelling argument, just you looked at the wrong place in the Mishnah. Elam Eseifa. Gemara says, we'll go back to our Mishnah, in Chagiga, Daf Yerches Amud Beis, and look at the end of the Mishnah. You remember the end of the Mishnah? The Gemara gave us two, and the Mishnah gave us two anecdotes at the end. You can turn back to the Mishnah, but the Gemara is here going to quote it. So either way, Yosi ben Yoezer hayachas shebekahuna. Story number one in the Mishnah: Yosi ben Yoezer, which right apparently is one of the Zugos, presumably. So he was a chas shebekahuna, right? Very pious kohen. Vayisa mitpachto medras lekodesh. And meanwhile, as pious as he was, Hishmata, whatever it was, a head covering, whatever it was, his clothing, was medrash for anyone who's going to eat Kodesh. Okay, and again, remember, we saw this in the Mishnah. The point in the Mishnah is that this has nothing, this is not a frumkeit issue. This is just simply a question of standard. When you're somebody who eats Truma, so your clothing is not up to standard to someone who's going to eat Kodesh, that's all. It's just a question of standard. And so that was story number one. And look at story number two in the Mishnah. And Yochanan ben Gudgada haya ochal taras hakodesh. Yochanan ben Gudgada would always eat his food, with the standard of kodesh. So this is a perfect example of chulin shenasa taras hakodesh. And meanwhile, kol yamav aisa mitpacho medras lechatas. And his shmata was a medras for whom? For anyone who's going to handle chatas. Oh, that's an excellent proof. Meaning, think about what we're saying. We're now describing Yochanan ben Gudgada in the Mishnah, whose clothing is only a medras for one above him, and that's a chatas. So, and the Gemara makes the obvious point: lechatas in lekodesh lo, meaning it's a medras for someone who's going to come into contact with a chatas, but for someone eating kodesh, it's fine, it's good. Why? Because his level, even though he's not eating actual kodesh, even though he's only in training, he's only in this training period, but still, because he's standard, he's conforming to the standard of kodesh, and he's eating his chulin al taharas hakodesh. So as a result of that, it has a standard of kodesh. It actually has a level of kodesh, and it's actually pretty clear from the Mishnah that when he tovels for that, it's ki'ilu, it's kemat, he's toveling for kodesh. Amakasavah chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh kekodesh dami. Okay, the Gemara is excellent. It is a good proof, not from the beginning of the Mishnah, but certainly from the anecdote that was given at the end of the Mishnah. Okay, period. And that ends now the second part of today's daf. And now we move to the final part of today's daf. I know it's early to talk about the final part of today's daf, but that's good. As I mentioned, it's a short daf. We'll finish up. So the third part of today's daf now goes as follows. You told in the mikvah, in the mikvah, and you accept upon yourself that you are toveling for truma, or let's say you tovel that you're toveling for kodesh. Whatever the case is, so your tefillah is obviously good. For how long? Basically, to the point where you still have in mind the kodesh, you still have in mind the truma. Basically, up until the point of what we call in halacha a hesech hadas, when you have an interruption of concentration. Once you engage in a hesech hadas, once you're distracted, so at that point in time now your tefillah is no longer good. That's not only true for you; it's true for any item as well. In other words, if you're going to eat a, if you're going to use a clothing, an article of clothing, so that clothing will be in a presumed state of tahara until there's a point of hesech hadas. And so from this point going forward, this is minutia, but that's exactly the point. Now we're really going to get into the minutia of what is considered a hesech hadas as it relates to maintaining a level of tahara. So that's our Gemara's discussion, and will be for the remainder of today's daf, for the remainder of the parak. We are going to start off now with basically three bullet points, three halachas that are said in succession. Number one. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Elazar. Nafla ma'aparaso heimenu. Let's say you have a suda, some sort of handkerchief that's wrapped around you. It falls off of you. I'm a lechaver tanali. So you turn to your friend. You say to your friend, hey, "Look, my knees are not what they used to be. Could you do me a favor? Could you bend over and could you pick it up for me?" Guy says, "Sure, no problem at all." V'nasna lo, and he gives you the item. Timei'ah. That sudar now is officially tummy. Now, the person who picked it up for you, was he tummy? Let's say, no, he wasn't. Let's make the argument he wasn't tummy. And otherwise, then there's no, right, because there's no point in going over this halacha. Let's say the person who picked it up for you is tahor. It doesn't matter. Once somebody else handles it, it no longer is in a presumed state of tahara. It loses its shmira, and at that point going forward now, the presumption is it's tummy. Take a look at... We're not even presuming the other person's tummy. You no longer have a shmira, meaning you no longer have it in your mind. Good. Take a look at... that. Now we have what's called the chiddush. Now it's a novel point of the Gemara. That's exactly what the Gemara is trying to do today. Give us such a novelty. Let's take a look at Rashi. I'm reading Rashi. Rashi says, Tameya, V'afilu zeh tahor. And even if the other person's tahor, still, the item is tamei. Well, the kama mefaresh, taima. Now, Rashi gives away the Gemara later on, but that's fine. The Gemara is going to tell us this on the very bottom of this Amud, which is, Chazaka inad de meshamer mashi b'ad chavero. That Shmira works for those things which are in your hands. That doesn't mean that it physically has to be in your hand, but basically within your possession, within your domain. But once someone else is handling it, you no longer have a Shmira on the item, and so therefore it's no longer a Torah. Now, by the way, when we say it's no longer a Torah, in the context of these Ma'alos, in the context of the Chumras that we're talking about, meaning, again, what are we discussing? We're discussing that if I eat Truma, I have to have a special Kavanah for Truma. If I'm going to eat Kodesh, I have to have a special Kavanah for Kodesh. So vis-a-vis these Ma'alos, these special Chumras of extra levels of Tahara, once I no longer have a Shmira on it, it loses its status. So
Shariah is not
Shmira? So the Gemara says, well, look at, again, let me just finish Rashi. Ma'ashabi al-Khaver, lafichach, hu lo shomrabi al-Khaver. So because now it's in someone else's hands, so no, you no longer have a shmira. The gamzeh shenafsan lalaya chash l'shomra. So the Gemara says, and the person who was handling it, he didn't care. The meima amar kaven sha'amar lay tanali v'hu ani yodim tami ani im tahor. And look, there was no vetting. Meaning when I asked him to pick up my sudar, so I didn't go over and him and start interrogating. You tahor, you're tame. So now. These are the keywords of Rashi over here. This is really what we're talking about now. So at this point in time, we are now experiencing what's called a hesach hadas, an interruption of thought. And for those who are machmir, meaning in the context of our discussion of all these chumras that were imposed for people eating Maaser Sheni and Truma and Kodesh and handling the Mechatas, so for them, the Shmira is no longer a Shmira. You've now experienced the Hesachadas, and therefore that article of clothing is no longer Tahor, Legabe, this particular discussion. It's not a function of the other person being tummy. I've now no longer, I no longer had a shmira on it.
No.
Rashi said in the very beginning, the person's tower. That's not even the issue. The issue is that I now, otherwise, agreed. Okay, so that's halacha number one. So let's go. Halacha number one, just to review, is I drop an article of clothing. I'm right now in a level of tahara, in an extra level of tahara. I dropped a article of clothing. I asked somebody else to pick it up for me. He does. He hands it to me. No, that item is no longer good. It's no longer in that state of shmira. Why? Hesach hadas.
What if he has his mic all the time and then he's handled it and
he falls out? When the Gemara later on is going to use the word chazaka. The word chazaka means that there's a presumption. So presumptions are strong. Presumptions are always strong. That's, in other words, in halacha, like in other areas, in other legal systems. So you work with certain assumptions. So that's an assumption that the Gemara is making vis-a-vis Shmira. Again, it has nothing to do with him being Tamer Tahor. He's Tahor.
No, but
your Shmira needs to be a constant Shmira once Hesach Hadas has been experienced, so the item is no longer Tahor. Again, all in the context of these additional Chumras of extra levels of Tahara.
So he's a Hesach Hadas because, like you say, he didn't ask him.
Correct. I mean, Rashi. Right. That's what Rashi says. Yeah, correct.
How would he fix the problem? He has to go to mikveh.
Mikveh. Yeah, tov on the mikveh again. Again, tov on the mikveh with the intent of I'm gonna, you know, for whatever higher level he needs it for. Okay, that's number one. Number two.
Amr. He has to do that item also in the
mikveh.
Or no?
Yeah, the item has to go in the mikveh. Amr Yochem and Amr nischafalo kelim shel Shabbos became shel chol. So let's say I go into my closet and. By accident, I thought I was taking out a Shabbos suit. I ended up taking a weekday suit. Okay, not the suit I was intending to do. Vilafshan, and I'm wearing it. So here, it's unbelievable. I didn't even hand it to somebody else. I myself am the handler. But meanwhile, that's not the item I thought I was taking. Nitmu'u. So once again, at that point in time, because it's not the item that I thought it was, so it's Tamei. And again, Tamei in this context means that I no longer have a shmir on that item because I didn't think it was that item. And so therefore I've experienced what's called a Hesach Hadas, and therefore the item loses its elevated status of Tahara. It's Tamei. And again, I know this is a very subtle discussion over here. Tamei, I understand. Tamei, understood. Tamei over here does not mean it's actually Tamei. Tamei means it loses its special Tahara status. And finally, halacha number three, Amar Rav Elazar Rav Tzedek Maisa B'Shei Nashim, Chaverish Nizchaf Alem Kleim B'Veis Amerchatz. Two women, they went to the bathhouse together, and by accident, so each one ended walking away from the bathhouse with the other's robe, and again, they were both Tahoros. But meanwhile, the article of clothing they took ended up not being theirs, but ended up belonging to somebody, to the other one, and it was an accident. Uvah myself and Rabbi Akiva v'timan, and they went to Rabbi Akiva and they asked Rabbi Akiva, well, what's the status? And Rabbi Akiva says, I'll tell you what the status is. Clothing's tummy. Well, what do you mean? I'm Tahora, she's Tahora, we're both Tahora, what's the problem? Problem is that it's not your clothing. You lack the shmira. Once you lack a shmira, it's a hesach hadas, and again, it loses its elevated status of tahara. Okay, good. So basically, three bullet points in a row, one after the other, that gives us a sense that in order for you and your kalim to enjoy the elevated status of Maestro Sheni, Trum, Kodesh, Chatas, so it has to be in a constant state of shmira. Good. Mask of Rabbi Hoshea. So the Gemara says, okay. Rabbi Hoshea says, let me ask you now a question. Let's say you reach your hand into a basket. And again, you're in an elevated state of Tahara. And you reach your hand into a basket with the intent of taking out the wheat bread. And meanwhile, barley bread comes into your hands. Hachinami denidmeis. And you're going to tell me now, well, that's not the bread that I wanted to take. And since it's not the bread that I wanted to take, so now there's a Hesach Hadas, and therefore it's no longer Tahor. Really? And the Gemara says, okay, look, we're in the world of elevated Tahara. Maybe the answer is, yeah, that's correct. Okay. V'atanya. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that we have a Braisa. Hamasham is a Chavis Bechazke Shal Yayim V'Nimsa Shal Shemen Tahara Melatame. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa goes like this. You have a barrel, and you think the contents of the barrel is wine. Okay? And so therefore, your shmira, your mindset is that I'm protecting and guarding the wine. And you open up the barrel, and meanwhile, what do you find inside the barrel? It wasn't wine, it was oil. Again, the oil was tahor. That's not even up for discussion. The problem is that that wasn't your shmira. Your shmira was on the intent that it was wine inside, and it wasn't oil. And meanwhile, it was oil. V'nimtza shel shemen, tahora melatame. So what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says it's tahor. Still okay. Okay. Now, but you got to read the words carefully. And this took me a little bit to get this right. Tahora melatame, reading the words carefully, it will not transmit tumah to something else. Okay. But still, at this juncture, the way it sounds like is that it's a valid shmira, even though I didn't think it was oil. I thought it was wine. Still, it's a valid shmira. So the Gemara says, okay, but slow down.
Why didn't you ask the question, this question on the clothing? I think it was Shabbos clothing.
This question can go... This question can go on... Again, the three halachas in a row, this question could be going on at least two of them.
At least two
of the points, right? Maybe even the third. But okay. Or the Tamech, I'm a Seifa. So the Gemara says, okay, but before finishing the question, read on in the Braisa. What does the Braisa say? Vasur Malacho. You can't drink the oil, but it's not going to transmit to him as something else. So, I'll tell you the truth, even not in the context of a Gemara, just out of context, the Braisa is really difficult to understand. The Braisa is saying that the oil is not going to transmit to him as anything else, but you can't eat the oil because the oil's tame. What just happened over there? So the Gemara says, am I? So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Meaning, right. Leave the Braisa out of our discussion. Just look at the Braisa in of itself. What's the Braisa talking about? So Rav Yirmiyah says, you know what the case is over here? Really a strange case but it has to be. In other words, otherwise the Braisa won't make sense. The Braisa is talking about where the person who was guarding the item said, look, I'm going to do a partial shmira on the, again, what he thought was wine, turns out to be oil, but either way, I'm going to do a partial shmira. I know. I'm in agreement. What? Why not go all the way with the shmira? Okay, so, I don't know. Okay, but again, the Gemara is, right, the Gemara is making a point, meaning, practically speaking, of course you should have a full shmira. But the Gemara is making a point, and the point is that when it comes to Shmira, you could do this. You can have a partial Shmira. I'm protecting it from coming to contact with something that will make it Tameh and will transmit the Tameh to something else. But I will not protect it from something that will make it Pusel. And again, remember that terminology of Pusel means that it is the end of Tameh, meaning that this item is to become Tameh, but it cannot transfer the Tameh to something else. So for Truma, by example, if, let's say, a Sheni were to come into contact with the Truma, Truma's Pasul, because the Truma can't go beyond a Shlishi. If it were Kodesh, for example, so then Sheni touching the Kodesh, it becomes Tameh, and it can transmit the Tameh to something else, because Kodesh can go up to Revi. But anyway, but again, all this is aside from the point. The point now is that I had a partial Shmira, and that's why, because I had a partial Shmira, whatever little Shmira I had, worked. And the Gemara just fleshes out this point, that you could do this. You can have a partial Shmira. Umik and the Turisol Apag, the Gemara says, really, you could do that? You could have a partial Shmira? And the Gemara says, yeah, you can. Hatanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Hoshi Yad B'Savah, Sal K'tei Fom. Let's say you stick your hand in a basket, right? You put the basket right on your shoulder, so you really can't see what's going on inside the basket. You put your hand in the basket, V'amagrefa B'Socha Sal, and you have a Magrefa. Oh, Rashi gives a French word, Whittle. Or whatever, some sort of fork in the basket. Now here, you're concentrating your intent. Your shmira is going on the basket. You have no shmira whatsoever on the magrefa, on the fork. Hasal tarva magrefa tameya. So the basket is tahor. The magrefa is tamei, or more grammatically correct, tameya. And why? Because you can have partial shmira. Now, the Gemara, just even here, the Gemara says, I'm not fully following. Asal tar titame amagrefa. Titame amagrefa lasal. Why from the fork make the basket tame? But the Gemara says, but that's easy. Ain't kli metame kli. Yeah, in the world of tuma tahara, one kli cannot transmit tuma to another kli. Fine. Velatame mashabasal. So the Gemara says, well, okay, good. So the fork is not going to be metame the basket. That part I get. But there's content in the basket. So why not let the fork be matama, the content of the basket? I'm Ravina Baomer Shmarti Medavish Matama Vlam Medavra Poslo. Okay, so the Gemara says, because once again the person had a partial shmira. I was shomer it from anything that would be matamid, but I was not shomer from anything that would apostle it. So again, it's that weird scenario where he had a partial shmira. All the Gemara just wanted to do is tell us that there's a possibility to have a partial Shmira. It can happen in the world of Shmira. Mikoma kom kasha, but now let's come back and now let's ask the question again. So again, quickly a review to set everything up to get to the answer. We have three halachas that were told to us in succession. Halacha number one is that if my scarf falls off me and I ask somebody else to pick it up and he picks it up for me, even if he's tahor, that's a hesach hadas, scarf is no longer tahor. Halacha number one. Halacha number two. I picked up what I thought was Shabbos clothing, turns out to be weekday clothing or vice versa, so that's also no good because, again, it wasn't what I thought it was, and so therefore I experienced hesach hadas, and therefore it's no longer tahor. Halacha number three, two women went to the bathhouse, and they mixed each other's robe up, even if both of them are tahora, but it's not the robe, and so therefore the robe is going to be, the robe is no longer going to be tahor. Good. So those are the three halachas in succession. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. How does that jive with the case of the chavis of the barrel, where you thought it was wine, meanwhile it was oil, and what do we say? As long as you had shmira, it's good. Now, again, it gets a little bit tricky, it gets a little bit complicated, because in that particular case we were talking about, there was a partial shmira, and you have a full shmira, but again, that's a detail, and leave the detail aside right now. Just look at what's going on. In that case, for whatever you were shomerid for, the shmira worked, even though you didn't really know the identity of the item inside. You thought it was wine, and meanwhile it was oil. And the shmira works. So in the case of the Shabbos clothing, let's say, for example, right, it's an excellent... Put those two cases side by side. I thought I took out my Shabbos clothing. Meanwhile, I took out my weekday clothing. The Gemara said earlier, oh, that's no good. That's the hesach hadas. Well, how's that different than the case of the wine and the oil? Well, you thought it was wine, and meanwhile, it turned into oil. It sounds the same. Mikol makom kasha. The Gemara says, good. Now we posed a question. The ode. And the Gemara says, and I'm not even going to let you answer it. And the Gemara says, and look at the following. Most of Rabbi Baravua. I'm going to ask you another question, which is, Maisa bishacha shabbat lefnei Rabbi Yishmael. A woman came in front of Rabbi Yishmael. Amar li Rabbi bega lizeh arikta batara. So the woman says to Rabbi Yishmael, look, when I wove the garment, I did so in a state of tahara. But I'll tell you what, though. She says, I didn't have a shmira. Meaning, when in the act of weaving it, I was in a total state of tahara. But I really, I had hesach hadas. I wasn't conscientious. And then, Rabbi Shmuel asked her just a couple of simple questions, and she came up with the admission that, you know, there was a woman together with me who helped me with the weaving, and oh, by the way, she was Anida. Oh, okay. So Rabbi Shmuel realized, all right. So in other words, now I understand why it's so important to be Shomer. In other words, to have this idea of Shmira. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Kam gedolim divrei chachamim. Rabbi Shmuel says, those chachamim know what they're doing. Shayu omrim, b'libo l'shamra tahor. Ein b'libo l'shamra tameh. If you have it in your heart to be Shomer, good. If you don't have it to be in your heart to be a Shomer, meaning you experience that sechadas, so that's it. All bets are off. There are no assumptions, there are no presumptions that you can make that the item is tahor. Shuv maisa b'sha'achas. And there's another story. Shuv alifnei Rabbi Shmuel, amar lo Rabbi, mapazu aratia b'tahara. So I take a tablecloth, and I put it together, and I was in a state of tahara. V'lohaya b'li b'lo shomra. But I didn't have the shmira. I didn't have this idea of shmira. And we talk about digosh. I Rabbi Shmuel Botka Amar Lo Rabbi Nima Nifsek Aliu Kshartia Bepeh. And then again a couple of just basic questions. And she made the admission to Rabbi Shmuel. You know, there was a string that I had a hard time with it. So basically, I cut it with my teeth. Okay. So and Rashi explains over here. Rashi actually vacillates between two explanations. But I'm going to go with the explanation that Rashi prefers. And Rashi says that at an earlier stage in the weaving, while before the actual weaving itself, she was Anida. She bit off one of the strings. Her saliva went on one of the strings. The saliva of Anida is an avatoma. And then at a later point in time, she told them the mikvah, but when she took the string back, the string was still wet with her saliva that she discharged while she was an Ida, and so therefore that remains an avatuma. And by her making the admission that, well, she wasn't a shomer, she forgot about all this, and then as Rabbi Shmuel was revisiting exactly what happened, Rabbi Shmuel reminded her. And again, Rabbi Shmuel's response, I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Kama Gadom, Divrei Chachamim, Shei Omrim Beliba L'Shomer Tare, and Beliba L'Shomer Tame.
The fact that she touched it before even the saliva came, that wasn't Tame?
No, because it's not a beget. It only is going to become Tame when it's a beget. In other words, right, if
so
it adds a string...
How does the saliva differ from touching it?
No, and as a string, it's not going to become Tame because it's not a beget. But once she forms it into a beget and the saliva's on it, okay, now
but she's still touching it when it forms in the baguette. So the matan, she's not.
Right, correct. Meaning, I agree. If she touches her own saliva, meaning after she tovel the mikvah, she touches her saliva.
No, but let's say she's Nida. She has not been in the mikvah. She's tummy herself, right?
Yes.
So what's the difference with whether she touches the
saliva? Because the string is not a baguette. The string is not
the thing. At the point it becomes a baguette, she's still tummy, no?
No, she told the mikvah before the baguette, before she actually started weaving the baguette.
So I should have been
clear.
Beforehand.
Right. And Rashi says that what happened was is that she told him, it's fine, I wasn't clear. She told him the mikvah, and after toveling in the mikvah, now she started weaving, but that saliva was still on the string. And now that saliva on the string now formed into a baguette, so now the baguette's going to become tummy. And again, all this came as a revelation, both to her and to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, this shmira thing is really important. And the Chachamim knew it, and they understood it. Anyway, why do we bring in this brisa? Because again, it compounds the problem. It doesn't create a solution, it compounds the problem. Why? Because as long as you have belibo l'shomro, as long as you have it in your heart, that I'm going to be shomer, that shmira is a good shmira. Regardless of what the item is, it doesn't matter. All you need is to commit yourself to Shmira, and the item is going to be Nishmar. It's going to be safeguarded and protected from Tumah. And so now, we're back to asking the questions that we asked before, but compounded. The problems now are compounded. In the case of the two women who switched each other's clothing, look, they may switch the clothing, but they were committed to Shmira. Clothing should still be good. Or go back to the case of the oil and wine actually is good, because in that case, right. Go back to the clothing, where I take out one article of clothing from my closet. I thought it was my Shabbos clothing. It turned out to be my weekday clothing. Who cares? I was committed to Shmira. If I'm committed to Shmira, that should work. This is the Gemara's problem.
Yeah, but there's two cases I gave. It's the question of Shmira. It was stolen because she was a Nida, and the other one, the other case, the same thing. Somebody who was a Nida.
Yeah, but the Gemara is...
So it's nothing to do with Shemira.
No, but the Gemara, I understand, but the Gemara... Right, but the Gemara, I hear you, but the Gemara is fixed on the line of, right, Belibo L'Shomra Tahor. As long as you're committed to Shemira, it's Tahor.
Not if somebody touches it, though. If a Nida touches it,
Okay. Understood. So Bishlam al Rav Elazar Rav said kolachavachas omeres chavetayshes amaretz umascha daitamina. So the Gemara says, look, in the case of the two women who exchanged robes in the bathhouse, so the Gemara says I can easily explain that case because look, maybe they were both committed to shmirah, but once they realized that somebody else took my robe, so each woman could say to herself, oh, that woman? Oh, she probably married to an Amaretz. Forget it. Right, right. In other words, and so she gave up hope. Once she gave up hope, so again, Hesach Hadas, lack of Shmira, no longer good.
Sorry, but Chazaka by women is that they're Tamech? Is it that?
No, and again, this is the entire issue of today's daf is Shmira. Is the mindset that I'm going to commit myself to keeping this in the state of Tahara. Once that snaps, it has nothing to do with the other person. Once the Shmira is no longer there, once there's a Hesach Hadas that interrupts that thought, so then it's Tame. Tame, I said this in the beginning, Tame just simply means it's no longer in that elevated state of Tahara, like the Mishnah was describing, for Truma and for Kodesh and for Chatas. Now, And let's go on. And the Rav Yonas and Ben Amram Nami came to Kalin Shabbos Avilu Shimur Tvei Maisach Daita Minayu. And again, you thought you were taking your Shabbos clothing, and meanwhile you took out your weekday clothing. So there, people generally have a higher level of shmira for the Shabbos clothing. And so therefore, it's very easy to imagine that in that case over there, a hesach hadas was experienced. And the Rabbi Yonas ben Elazar, Navelu shimer biyadei dechavrei, but the Gemara says, but here's what I don't understand. Let's go back to the first case. I drop my scarf. Somebody else picks up my scarf. So in that scenario over there, what do we say? No good. Why not? Can we say that a shmira? Now again, everyone here knew the answer because I said it in the beginning. Rashi said in the beginning, but now here's the Gemara saying it. I'm Rav Yochanan Chazak, and I'm Misham, and Mashi Biad Chavero. Once something in someone else's hands, the presumption is shmir is broken, hesach hadas, and therefore it no longer is good. Vihatanya, and the Gemara quotes that Braisa, Haresha, you Chamar Vapolev, Toanim. Right? I did. Chazak and Adam Misham, and Mashi Biad Chavero. Vihatanya, the Gemara here is bothered by a Braisa, Haresha, you Chamar Vapolev, Toanim, Taharas, one on the top of Chafam and Base. Where you have your donkey drivers and your workers, and they're carrying your taharas. They could be ahead of you by a full mil. Taharas of taharas. Your taharas is still good. But if you say to them, I'll tell you what, you go ahead and whatever. I'll make it up there. Right. I think about Yaakov and Esav. Where Yaakov says to Esav, Esav, I'll tell you what, I love you. You go ahead and I'll catch up eventually. You know, 3,000 years later, we're still trying. Yeah. So the taras. Once it's no longer in your eyesight, so it's tame. The Gemara says, did you see the difference between the beginning and the end? Meaning, in the beginning, he was also out of your range. So how come in the beginning it's tower? So the Gemara is like now Chareisha b'Matar Chamar v'Polav l'Kach. So in the first case, the Gemara makes the argument. Well, you know what? You knew that your workers were handling your taharos. You wanted to be tahor. So basically, they're your employees. Okay, guys, you want to work for me today? All of you, you're going to tovel the mikvah. And let's say it was truma, just as an example. And all of you are going to come out of the mikvah with the intent that you're going to be handling truma. And as Rashi points out over here, you put it in kli cheres, and you steal the kli cheres, and okay, good. So yahachi sefanami. So the Gemara says, okay. So if that's true in the ratio, isn't that also true in the sefa? I mean, once you're giving a kimta, once you're giving a scenario, you can't change the scenario mid brisa. So in achinami makbid amaga chavero. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in the second half of the brisa, you know the amarasim that are working for you, so they may be tahor. But they're not going to stop somebody else from touching it. Ihachi reisha. So the Gemara says, okay, go back to the first case. Same thing. Nami bevalahem derech akalason. So the Gemara says, no, in the first case, you never gave them the impression that they're going to be on their own. In other words, even if they were ahead of you by a full mil, but they were always, there was always fearful that you were proximate. And you couldn't come at any point in time. Ihachi seifa nami. No, kem da'amaluhu l'chuv ani avo acharechem mismach saich samchi da'atayu. Once in the second case, in the second half of the brisa, once you say to them, "Guys, you're on your own," you know, and I'll come, you know, I'll be there, but you guys are on your own. So now you gave them the confidence that they're really on their own. They're no longer fearful. They're no longer going to be shomer. And then we go back to the chazaka that ain't out the mishamer mashi bi'al chavera. But once they're your employees, and once they're always going to be fearful of you, so they're really then extensions of you. And in that case, the shmira is maintained. That is the end of the second parak of Chagiga. Tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we begin the third parak of Chagiga. One more parak to go in state of Moed. And we have, Baruch Hashem, we have a parak of more discussion of Tamatahara. One more week.